So, my name is Joshua Medela, and obviously I'm giving a presentation on Scratch today. I wrote my first computer program when I was about 12 years old. My family had an Aquarius home computer that we connected to a television set. And I watched War Games, and I was inspired by this idea of having a dialogue with the computer. So I created a program in BASIC on the Aquarius, and it was kind of an awful program. It wasn't very robust. It asked you if you wanted to play a game. You said yes. It asked you if you want to play global thermonuclear war. You say yes. It asked you if you want to be the U.S. or the USSR. Whichever one you select, there's a countdown and everybody dies. Not very interactive, but it really awakened this sense of magic for me in computers. Again, this idea that I could have a dialogue with the machine could somehow understand what I wanted it to do and respond accordingly. And that idea of dialogue and language is something that I'll be returning to throughout this presentation. A few years later, I got my first computer job as a freshman in high school writing a HyperCard program for the football coach, who was also the literature teacher. And I went and bought some Legos with my hard-earned money. And today, I'm a software quality assurance engineer for a company I've been working for about 10 years, which is fairly rare in QA. I have a lot of friends that are in QA and they have contract jobs. I feel pretty fortunate about that. Anyway, I want to start the presentation about Scratch. Talking about three different ideas that are related, and they're expressed in these quotes by three different people. The first one is that Heinz von Forster said that education is neither a right nor a privilege, it's a necessity. Okay, so as the world changes, we need to change with it. And Norbert Wiener said in The Human Use of Human Beings something about how to be alive in the world is to participate in the unhampered exchange of knowledge. And Wiener was coming from a place of a cycle of activity where we act on the environment and the environment acts on us. And we learn to act in such a way that gets the environment to do what we want it to do, hopefully. And so knowledge and action are really two sides of the same process. Joseph Deakin said, cooperative language is the essence of computing and your own literacy is the key. So often when people think about computing, they think about crunching numbers and math and stuff like that. I tend to think of computing as the coordination of action, and computer programming languages as the coordination of the coordination of actions through the medium of language. And finally, Mitchell Resnick said, digital fluency requires not just the ability to chat, browse, and interact, but also the ability to design, create, and invent. Mitchell said this in an article that was recently published in Communications of the ACM called Scratch, Programming for All. And Mitchell is one of the head people at MIT's Lifelong Kindergarten Group. Which is the team that developed, or the group that developed Scratch. I shouldn't be reading here on the
president. You're the only one who can read.
So Mitchell have this idea that, sort of similar to what I was saying earlier, that computers are a media for creation, or a medium for creation, for creative expression. So they enable us to come up with ideas in our minds and model those ideas in the world and dialogically alter our models and alter the world and back and forth in this recursive cycle of creative expression and exploration and discovery. And this was the sort of thinking that he had going into the development of the Scratch program. Scratch, I think the first version of Scratch came out in 2007, and it's been pretty well received, largely by the academic community. There are a lot of people around the world that are teaching the language in schools, in middle schools and high schools, also in extracurricular forms. And so here we see that the Scratch sort of motto is imagine, program, and share. And so again, this idea that with the computer, which I won't get into too much of this, but because it's a Turing machine, a computer can simulate all kinds of different things. We can have all these ideas of what we want to do in our minds, and we can do them on a computer. And we came, Lifelong Kindergarten Group wanted to make that easy for children to do that, partly because it's such a diverse medium, because there are so many things that you can do with it, so many ways that you can express yourself with it, but also because it prepares people for the digital, and really at this point, kind of the post-digital age that we're in, where computers are ubiquitous and digital technologies are ubiquitous. I don't know that if I can, let me try and show you the site really quick. See if I can throw it on here. So, this is the Scratch website, and there are. So, when kids develop programs with Scratch, which I'll show you how to do very shortly, that'll be the majority of the presentation will be me showing you how to use Scratch. There's a site that Lifelong Kindergarten created where people can upload their programs, or projects, as they're called in Scratch, to the site. They can play other people's programs. You can play them right here. They run in Java. Some of them are a little wonky when you play them online. Sometimes you need to download it to play well, but you can play them online. And you can also download other people's programs and change them and see how they did them. And make changes and then upload your own programs. And the reason that Scratch is called Scratch is it's a term borrowed from turntablism, so scratching records. And the idea of remixing other people's ideas is very important to the Scratch development model and design philosophy. And there are, I downloaded this, doesn't show on here. There are literally hundreds of thousands of these programs out there that any kid can go and create an account. And when you're using the Scratch IDE, the Integrated Development Environment, you can upload your projects directly to the website. And everything is really easy for kids to share their programs and their ideas with other people.
So is it something where if somebody makes a racing game and their car is red and I want the car to be blue, I can see their code and get in there and change
Absolutely.
The color of it?
Yeah, okay. You can change it. You can see how they got the cars to move in the first place. There are also a lot of adults that participate in this project. And I'm going to start out very shortly showing you this, how to do some programs in Scratch and what the features of Scratch are. But then I'll go into, a little later, some of the more advanced things that you can do with Scratch using sensor boards and a TCP extension protocol for Scratch that lets you communicate to Scratch through Python programs, processing, anything that can communicate through a socket connection. Some stuff that adults might find a little bit more interesting and hopefully get their children interested in as well. But just things to make it more robust. Getting ahead of myself there. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and show you. This is the Scratch IDE. Okay. And one of the big ways that Scratch facilitates programming for younger people is to take something that usually happens in a very linguistic domain, computer programming languages that are full of abstract sort of code words that can be difficult to memorize and comprehend sometimes, and to translate those into a medium where you're manipulating blocks of things and you're moving things around, okay, like building robots. So you're not doing a whole lot of typing, you're doing a lot of moving around blocks of things that do things. And I'm going to go through, let me see if I can focus this or something better. I'm going to go through some of the blocks and give you an idea of the kinds of things that you can do with them. And then I'll show you several examples of what some people have done with Scratch, so you can get an idea of the variety of things that you can do with it. So here you have your usual file and edit sort of options for saving and opening files. Scratch works with a stage, which is this background area, okay, which is going to display when you run your program, and then a number of sprites. And the sprites are just sort of independent little bits of code that you associate scripts with, and costumes and sounds. And tell Scratch what you want the sprites to do, and the sprites interact with each other. So if you're having a racing game, your sprites might be racing cars. And then you tell the program what it is that these cars do, and they move forward and side to side. Do they get faster and slower? Do they stop and all these kinds of things? Do they have sounds that are associated with them? And yeah, so you can import and export sprites. The Scratch program that you download from the MIT site includes a whole bunch of pre-scripted sprites that you can use, or you can create your own. And so this is a set of motion blocks that you can use to move your sprite around. Okay, you can have it move a number of steps, you can have it turn, you can have it point a number of degrees from 0 to 360. You can have it point towards another sprite. You can have it go to an XY coordinate within the project. One of the things that's a little wonky with Scratch is that the coordinate system starts in the center. It's a Cartesian coordinate system. So you go negative as you go to the left. And that's different than a lot of programming environments where your upper left-hand corner is 0, 0 coordinate.
And so it can make translating something from one language to another a little difficult, but you can tell it to go to a particular coordinate. So if I just, and this is all iterative, you can run any of these blocks anytime. So if I just double click that block, my sprite's going to move 10 steps. Okay, if I click this block, it's going to turn 50 degrees.
So this is basically an actor language. Sprite's an actor.
Yes.
The objects have their own behavior, and
It's written on Smalltalk, which I'll get into later. But you can change the way that your sprite looks. Okay, so every sprite can have a variety of costumes, so appearances, and you can create your own. There's a paint editor right in Scraps, so you can edit sprites that are in there, or you can make your own sprite.
So if you want to change the red card, this is the way you do it.
This is where you can do it, yeah. Or you can do it in whatever graphic application you want to use, and then import it in. So we can...
a little bit wonky.
What's that? Especially when you said it.
The crooked grin.
The crooked grin. But you can, so you can do things like, you can do some simple animations by just cycling through the costumes for a sprite. It's what the sprite looks like.
Can they animate?
Well, that's what I was just saying, yeah. So you can do like stop motion animation by cycling through the costumes, okay? So for example, get rid of this guy and let's point this guy back since. So I can say, so I'll get into the control box a little more in a second, but you can say repeat 10 times, make a costume, and then run that. It'll just keep changing the costume. Okay. And we can slow that down a little bit with some time variables, but you can make sprite say things or think things. There's some different graphic effects where you can change the color, you can fisheye your sprites, and just do some different things. So if we run this now, the sprite's going to change colors every time it cycles through that iteration.
So the orange part is the sprite, and then the purple parts are the actions that the sprite is taking?
Well, what do you mean the orange part? This orange repeat right here?
Yeah.
That's just a control block. These are all blocks that tell the sprite what to do.
Okay.
This block is a control block that tells the sprite to do whatever's inside of it 10 times.
Okay.
And then go on to the next step. Yes, it'll
no matter where they are.
It'll execute whatever's in here. Hold on. That'll make more sense when I get into the control structure. So, I'm just showing you right now just a few of the things that the sprites can do. and then we'll see how these all come together. So if there's sounds, you can record your own sound if you have a microphone connected to your machine. You can import sounds. The sounds are processed when you import them to become monaural, which is one of the things I'm going to talk about strategy, because there's a lot of stereo sounds in the projects that I do, and I kind of use stereo sound in strategy.
What does binaural mean?
You get the same sound through both speakers.
Mono.
So,
okay.
Yeah, mono. There's no stereo sound in scratch. I'm not sure why there isn't, and I know that there have been people in the forums that have asked for it, so it may come up in the future. You can have your sprites play drums or notes that uses the general MIDI standard. So anything that's a MIDI voice, you can have scratch play. You can have it. You can change the instruments, anything that's in the general MIDI standard. Okay, so you can change it to acoustic bass.
The sound is attached to the sprite?
The sound is attached to the sprite. The sprite will play the sound. Right. And then you can change that to a rock. And so you can put a bunch of these together to play a song, a melody, and I'll show you some examples of that when I show you some complete programs. You can change the tempo and the volume. There's the pin blocks let you use Sprite as a turtle graphics program. So that basically means that you put the pen down and lift the pen up. When you put the pen down and you move a sprite, the sprite draws a line behind it as it moves around the screen. So that can be used to create all kinds of graphic pictures. So I'll show you some examples of those. The sensing blocks let the sprite sense other sprites, or sense when it's touching a particular color. So for example, in a race car game, if you colored the grass in the background green, you could program the sprite so that every time it's in the green, so the car is on the grass, the car slows down. In Scratch 1.4, they added the ability to have the sprites ask questions. And you can type in a string response to that, and then that gets saved as the variable answer. It's just a one value variable and changes every time you ask another question. But then, so you can say, what's your name? And I type in Joshua, and then you can say, have the sprite say, hello, Joshua, or hello, answer. You can get the values of the mouse position, so that'll allow you to do things like move the sprites around with your mouse when you're actually in the runtime, when you're actually playing the games, or have the sprite go to somewhere where you click with the mouse.
Can it tell if you clicked it?
Yes. There's a mouse down option.
It's on the sprite, so you can make a button with the sprite.
Absolutely, yeah. Yes. If you wanted a button, you would make a sprite, and then whenever you click that sprite, that button would do something. And there's a timer that you can run and reset, so you can run time loops. And there's also, these guys down at the bottom are for the slide sensor board, which I'll show you in a little while. You can get values from that, so you can do physical computing this way for the scratch. Operators, standard mathematical arithmetic and logic operators. The ability to choose a random number. And also, to do strings, you can concatenate or join strings together. Strings are just strings of letters and numbers.
What purpose does that serve?
Well, for example, if I wanted to have the sprite say hello, Joshua, mm-hmm. I would use the name below, and then instead of world here, I would use the answer variable. So whatever I typed in there, and that then got stored in that variable, then the sprite would return that.
Okay.
Never executed that code.
Is the variable like one of these sprites?
Well, specifically, the answer variable is back here, and sensing it's this guy right here. So, for example, I could say back, and I'll take the answer. So I'll say use that control variable. So this is what we're going to do. All of this scratch scripts run off of this green flag. So when this green flag goes, that tells Scratch to run everything that begins with a when the green flag is clear. Okay? And then you can stop the program at any time by hitting the red stop sign. Okay? So we'll tell this that when the green flag is clicked, ask what's your name, and then it's going to wait for me to input something. And then it's going, and we want it to say something, so we go to looks block, and we go say hello. But we don't want it to just say hello, we want it to say hello plus my name. So we're going to use the join block, and we're going to pop it in there. So now it's going to say hello and the answer. So now when and there's a presentation mode, okay? So now, my presentation mode doesn't come on. Yeah, the presentation mode that I'm running for the presenter doesn't have to be flat. So the sprite's asking me what's your name. I'm sorry, Josh, or Java.
Would you want to step out and talk to her?
There's also, for the math operators, there's also a modulus which will return the remainder of the division. That's very nice for in programming, and the ability to round numbers. And then you can also use a variety of mathematical functions, absolute values, square roots, trigonometric functions, sine, cosine, etc. And the last thing I wanted to talk about with the code blocks, and then I'll show you some examples of the variables. So there's two types of variables in Scratch. There's three, actually, I guess. There's a variable can be either global or local. So a local variable belongs only to that sprite, and then global variables apply to all of the sprites within the project. And you can also make lists of variables. That's Scratch's way of doing arrays. With a list, you can you can add items to the list, you can delete an item from the list, or insert something in a particular place in the list, or replace a thing in the list with another thing. And there's all kinds of varieties of things you would want to use these for. One example is when you're using the sound blocks, for example, rather than have a sound block that, rather than using a sound block every time you want to play a note, you can create a list of all the notes that you want to play, and then just have the sound block grab each note from the list and play.
So can we do a really quick, Strand has built a Wii thing based on what you've been talking about. If you want to see and maybe explain how it's working.
Built a
little thing.
Thing.
Where the cat runs around. Wii as in small.
Wii, like,
so show it up there so that everybody can see. Go, Harry, go!
I just downloaded this while he was talking and built a little program where the cat moves around in the screen, and whenever it hits the edge, it bounces, and it changes its costume, and it waits like a 20th of a second every time it takes 10 steps, so it gives it the appearance that it's moving around rather than just going really quick. And basically, I'm just using the same few commands over and over. And it's got a control structure so that when space is pressed, it does something. And I think that I've got it set up so that, well, I'm going to work on using the arrow keys so I can move it around on the screen. And I never looked at this before today. This is fun.
It's nice to see someone put some effort into the... Yeah, this was based on squeaks. It's really nice to see people put effort into what used to be a prototype for 10 years, literally. I played the nascent form of this back in 1999 on the very bare bones ideas of, which actually go back to Soap even, which dates back to 1985. It has its roots in about 10 years, but enough people finally got behind it.
Yeah. And there's, at the very end, I'll show you, somebody's actually used Scratch to implement a way to do small talk programming in Squeak. So there's blocks for all the small talk objects
cool.
that you can actually use.
Is it possible to create custom blocks at a raw code level?
Yes and no. I'll talk about
okay,
that.
Okay, cool. Sorry.
That's okay. I mean, that's a great question. It's one of the first things I wanted to know when I started playing with this, is how do I make my own blocks? That is possible, but and there's a couple of ways that you can do it.
Are the little guys, they're called sprites.
Sprites.
Are the sprites independently run? If you want to make a dance between
yes.
four sprites, and they're all moving at the same time.
Yes.
Do they run independently?
Yes. Yes. And they can respond to each other, or they can just all do the same thing.
You could say, wait until he's done
them.
That step.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that brings us to the control blocks, which I wanted to talk about. So the most popular control block is the when the green flag is lit. But you can also use the control block when a key is pressed. So every time I hit the A key or the space key, or every time I hit the left or right arrow, move the sprite left or right, for example. When the sprite is clicked, so if you wanted to make a sprite that's a button, you say when the sprite is clicked, do this. That's actually easier than coding the logic for if the mouse is down and you're on the sprite, do this.
So I don't...
Yes.
I don't come from a coding background,
yeah.
And I think maybe for my sake, as well as maybe for the kids, if we can have a hard...
For the kids!
Maybe if we can decide on a character and have some
I'm going to show you all
okay,
the concrete
cool.
stuff.
Okay,
like
awesome.
I said, I'm just going through the various blocks. So
okay.
People who want to see, okay, what are the different kinds of blocks?
Okay.
And now it's just
cool.
Some examples.
Thank you!
You can tell the sprite to wait. You can have something loop forever. Okay. You can have it repeat a number of times. The sprites also use broadcast messages. So you can have a sprite broadcast something and then tell all the other sprites what to do when that sprite broadcasts that message. Okay, so that would be a way to coordinate dancing sprites, for example. There are various levels of if else statement logic. Yes, please.
Well, it's not really a question.
Yeah.
But I know that, like, if you want to button them,
mm-hmm.
you say when it's clicked, you broadcast something and then something happens.
Absolutely. Yep. You could say every time the sprite's clicked, then broadcast a message, I've been clicked. And then something will happen.
Yeah.
If you program another sprite to respond to that broadcast message. Exactly.
So as you drag the blocks over the instructions for them to follow, and then
mm-hmm.
you kind of just slap them out there wherever, but do they have to be connected for it to
yes.
for it to follow through?
Yes.
And then how easy is it to is there like how many levels of undo kind of thing? Like, I want to try this and see if it'll do that, but that didn't seem to work. So then can I just, do I have to take that block and drag it back out? Or
yes, you do.
I can't control the speed.
No.
Oh, okay.
It does involve just moving the blocks around.
But you can drag them in and out of each other.
So you can drag them in and out of each other, right. So it's pretty easy.
Yeah, okay.
So let's go ahead and I'll open up some projects so we can take a look at some of these, okay? So we have, these are all examples projects that come with Scratch when you download it from the website. So there's animations, games, greeting cards that people create in Scratch, interactive art, programs for music and dance, some cool music making programs. I'll show you one or two of those. Some things that people, kids have done with their names. So I think the name Joshua and the cool ways to use Joshua in the program. Things to do with sensors and motors, which I'll show you in a little while longer. There's been some really neat simulations done in Scratch. There are some people that are doing like physics simulations in Scratch and electronic simulations in Scratch for teaching in their classes. Speak Up is a set of sort of advertisements that people have done, animated advertisements that people have done in Scratch to raise awareness about environmental issues and stuff like that. And then you can also create interactive stories in Scratch. So we'll just grab some examples of these. Let's see. Aquarium. So here's an aquarium program, okay? And all of the fish. No problem. And all of the fish in the program are different sprites, okay? And then there's a background, it's the stage, okay? And the fish have different activities. So, for example, this fish, when I click the green flag and say, basically, start the program, forever, the fish is going to move a step forward, whichever direction it's pointed. And when it gets to the edge of the screen, it's going to turn around. That's what the if on edge bounce block does. Okay, so all that fish is going to do is just swim slowly back and forth across the screen. Okay. And then this next set says, in addition to that, so one out of six times, pick a random number between one and six, and if that equals one, then turn the fish 180 degrees. Okay, so sometimes when it's in the middle of the water, it'll go ahead and turn around. Okay? And then wait a second, and then keep moving. So, you can see then, when they're all moving, that's what they look like. Okay, so it's just fish. It's fish swimming around in an aquarium.
Why is it upside down when it turns 180 degrees?
Why would it be upside down?
It's not a rotation, it's a vertical.
What's this talking about? Oh, he thinks rotate versus heading. Yeah, so.
Yeah, and the way that the circle, I guess if you want to look at it, the degrees of the circle in Scratch is set up, is that 90 degrees is pointing to the right, and 180 degrees is pointing to the left.
Oh, I think it means it says.
So it's going. So when it turns 180 degrees, it's just.
Well, he's talking about rotation versus turn. I think it's conflating turn as in flipping this way versus rotation. Because our rotation operators, if you use rotate 180, it would be upside down.
I was saying
down.
If the fish turned like this.
Turn is really flip, and the rotates are really spins. So,
okay.
Yeah, right. I think that's what's going on.
I want to see rotating fish now. Can you make him rotate instead of turn?
Eventually.
Rotate 180.
So, whoever made this probably drew all that stuff or got the little fish off of something.
Yes.
And then downloaded it.
Yeah, you can.
Uploaded it to here.
Right. So each of these fish has its own costume or multiple costumes. Okay. So if you wanted, for example, if you wanted your fish to blink from time to time, because that happens.
Right.
You would,
no, fish don't have eyelids. That's what makes them creepy.
You would make another costume with a fish with its eyes closed, and then tell Scratch to sometimes switch to that costume, and then switch back to the costume with the fish's eyes open.
Can you do sometimes, or would you have to do like the random number, and then
if
every
want,
time it lands on a...
If you wanted, to,
if you wanted it to happen randomly, you would do it that way. If you wanted it to happen at regular intervals, you would say, like, wait 10 seconds and then blink your eyes or something.
If you want to use these fish in your program, is that okay?
What's that?
If you want to use these fish in your program, is that okay?
Yes, you can use these. Any of these sprites can be exported and imported into other programs.
And nobody will knock on your door. So you are using
No. Well, I see what you're saying. Yeah, these are all under everything that's all of the Scratch projects that are published on their site and that come with a link are published under. I'm trying to remember the Scratch. I think the Scratch projects are Creative Commons Attribution Sharealike. Might be no commerce. It's on the website. The source code itself is under an MIT license, and it can be shared and it can be changed. And you can't do commercial things with it, and if you change it, you can't use any of the Scratch branding. So we'll see that when I show you some of the stuff that people have done with it.
But if you do take somebody's stuff and put it into your own, you probably should give credit to them, mm-hmm. right? In the comments or something. I mean, it seems like...
It's very nice to do that, yes.
And it's good for kids to learn that.
Absolutely. When you remix a project on the Scratch site and then upload your own project, it automatically puts something in there that says that your project is a remix of somebody else's project and has a link to their project. But it's definitely possible to just download it and use their sprites without giving them credit, so absolutely, that's okay. Good thing to do. It's a good practice for people to get that kind of credit. Also, if you use an image from the web or something in your project, you can always say that this image came from somewhere. Now, how would you do that? There's multiple ways you can do that. You could create a background costume that at the end of your project just says, hey, thanks to so-and-so because I used their sprites. This sprite, that sprite, or this costume, or this sound, or whatever. If you're uploading your project in the Scratch website, you can put that sort of thing in the project comments, or as a comment to your own project when you've uploaded it.
According to their Creative Commons copyright license, you can share and remix anything on their website as long as you attribute it and are willing to share it.
So it's an attribution share-alike license. Yeah. So you can use other people's stuff, and anything you put up there is free for anybody else to use. Likewise. And then whatever they put up, they have to give it under the same way. Okay. Let's open it. Another program. There's so many good ones here. Chloe and I were going through these. Here's a guy who just goes around. If you don't know what you want to do with Scratch, here's a little program that'll help you figure it out. So you run this, and he just walks around and thinks, what would I do next in Scratch? Well, I could play with the penguins. I could look around on the Scratch website for some interesting projects to remix. So he's just going to go around and give you some ideas. I make a project based on my favorite book, movie, or game. Okay. So here again, we can see. Now these blocks down here I didn't show you earlier. These are comments, so you can annotate your blocks and create comments. You just right-click and add a comment. Okay. And you can attach a comment to a block, or you can just have it kind of float by itself. That's good if you're teaching, if you're working with really involved or long scripts, it's good to get kids in the habit of making comments explaining what different parts of their project are doing. So when other people try and remix that project, they can see what their intention was for a particular block. Go ahead.
So it just tells, like, if someone remixes it, those things just tell them what's happening?
Yes, exactly. Oh. Yep. It's just letting them know what's going on there.
Is that a series of different characters, or different sprites that are displayed?
For this guy right here?
Yeah.
That's one sprite. That's this sprite right here.
Okay.
And he has a costume that he changes. Every time he moves, his costume changes, and that gives the appearance of animation. It's like a stop-motion animation.
Right. Okay.
So really, it's kind of backwards, because really the term would be, it's an actor and he wears these costumes, which are sprites, but they've conflated sprite now with the actor, and the costume isn't a sprite, so, you know, it's...
Right.
This one has a lot of strings. Where are those?
Has a lot of strings?
He says a lot
yes.
of things.
He says a lot of things.
And they're very
right.
big, and I didn't see them in there.
Yes.
So where are they?
Yes, exactly. So down here, you'll see that there's a think block. And think is a list, okay? So it's going to choose a random thing from this list of ideas. And if we go to the variables, we'll see that there's an ideas list. And if we click this box, we'll see all of the ideas over here. And we can add more ideas to that list, or take ideas out, or edit the ideas in the list. Does that make sense?
Lists appear in the stage.
Lists appear in the IDE. Okay, so you go to the variables.
He's wondering why when you clicked on it, it's here on the stage.
Oh, yeah.
To the
yeah,
other.
When you click, all of the variables will have a checkbox next to them. And when you click that, it'll show you the value of the variable over here. Or in this
okay.
case, the values in the array.
Okay.
And then you can just uncheck that, and it'll disappear. Yes?
Could you, like, take that guy and then just, like, turn him into a turtle and have the turtle walking around?
Yeah,
saying,
yeah. Absolutely.
Turn him into a turtle.
Do
it.
Do it.
Do it right now?
Yeah.
Is it a turtle and any of the samples maybe?
Well, that's what I was going to go see.
Turn him into a fish.
Let's see if there are any turtles in here. So we got some bats and some buffaloes.
James from Bucket Works in Milwaukee says turn it into a turtle.
I don't have any turtles.
Jay, what?
Yeah. Oh, is that a zebra down at the bottom?
There is a zebra. We could turn it into a zebra.
I like zebra.
Now he's a zebra. And of course, what we would need to do is we would need to create a costume for each step that the zebra is taking if we want to give the appearance that the zebra is actually walking.
How would you do that? Would you have to redraw?
Yes, you have to redraw. Yeah, well.
Well, you can turn him into the bat, because the bat, we had two in there.
The bat had two?
Oh,
right.
Okay.
Exactly. So if we want to make kind of a vampire kid going around giving us ideas, what we can do is we can say, okay, get rid of all these costumes.
Wait, can he just turn into a bat when he has the idea and then go back to the guy walking?
He can. We can absolutely.
I can just keep it simple right now.
But that
would be the most simple one, though, because then the walking sequence would still exist.
Except that I already deleted all those costumes.
Yeah,
jeez.
Oh, no one knew. That was my question.
There you go.
Yeah,
exactly.
Oh,
nice
fly.
Nice fly.
Put it up on the big
scraps. Yeah, you want to see it?
The idea of that.
I could turn into a bat.
Turn into a bat. Turn into a different sprite.
Could you? On this, where all the shots were, can you go through it really quick and like read it so that? Because I see like, okay, the guy's walking by, but like they can't really see like.
Well, can you read right? The
yeah, can you just read the instructions and tell us like how we got this?
Sure. That's what I was showing you with the other one, and the same thing here. So this is saying, when you click the green flag up here, okay, the first thing you're going to do is think, I'm stuck, for 2 seconds. So you see a little cartoon bubble that says, I'm stuck, and that'll stay on the screen for 2 seconds and then disappear. And that'll be replaced by, what should I do next in Scratch? And that'll be up there for 2 seconds, and then that will disappear.
And then it goes into this loop forever. So until you actually hit the stop button, the sprite's just going to continue to do this forever and ever. Just repeat 10 times. He's going to move 10 steps forward. Okay, he's going to change. Every time he moves 10 steps, he's going to change his costume. So that's where the appearance of animation comes from. He's going to move, his costume's going to change so that his appearance is a little different. Then he's going to... Then if he's on the edge of the screen, he's going to turn around and start walking the other direction. So he doesn't walk off the stage and get lost. And then he's going to wait 0.2 seconds. So it's the same sort of thing that he was doing with his little cat animation that he showed you earlier. So it pauses briefly.
Otherwise, it will cycle between the costumes so quick, it'll just be a blur.
Exactly.
So I put a pause in there so it does a little bit one, a little the other.
Yeah. So he's going to do that 10 steps. He's basically going to take 10 steps forward. And when he gets done taking those 10 steps forward, he's going to think one of the randomly selected things from the list. Okay? And then when he's done with that, it's just going to loop back and go through the whole thing. Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Let's look at a couple more programs here.
Yeah, I like concrete examples.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
What are those little words in the green boxes down there?
From these boxes?
Yeah.
These are the comments I was saying. You can annotate.
Okay. I was wondering.
Yeah, no, that's... Yeah, absolutely. Don't ask all the questions you want. You can expand and close this if you have a bunch of these apps and so you have to use your space. And if you want to, you can associate these with specific blocks. So I can say that this pertains to the financial. That way I can tell somebody the reason that I put that block in the code, in the product. Alright, let's go up a level here. Games. Everyone wants to play the Pac-Man game, but it actually is really buggy, so I never use it. It's awful. Fish Chomp is pretty cool. So here's Fish Chomp. I'll show you how it works, and then we'll go through the code. Fish Chomp is really simple. These were probably drawn within Scratch. I don't think anybody used any high-end graphics to chomp. There we go. So he's just going to go around and try and gobble up fish.
So he's following your mouse?
Yeah, he's following the mouse. So that's Fish Chomp.
That seems utterly satisfying.
The game of the year.
This isn't the first time I've played it.
All I'm saying is that chomping noise is a good reward structure.
Yeah. So again, we can go through here and we can see that what this is doing is, so right now we're on the big fish sprite, okay? The hungry fish, that's what it's called. So when the green flag is checked and the thing starts, he switches to the costume open mouth. Okay, so he has two costumes. He has open mouth and closed mouth. So he switches to the costume open mouth. And this right here makes him go towards the mouse pointer. There's various ways that you can do this, but basically the code here is having him move towards wherever I have the mouse. On the screen. Okay, so that's a way I can control where the fish is by moving the mouse. And then notice that this script down here starts with when I receive got me. Okay, so if we go and look at one of these little fish, they swim around in random movements, okay, and then whenever the fish's red color is touching this sort of dark blue color, it executes the stuff within this if conditional loop. And that says broadcast got me to all of the other sprites, and then hide, and then wait 3 seconds, go to these coordinates, go to a random Y coordinate, and show me.
And the blue lines the big fish's mouth.
Exactly. And this dark blue color is the big fish's mouth. So every time, so the way we
you eat the fish is every time the mouth gets on one of these little red guys, he says, broadcast got me, and then hide, so it looks like I got was gobbled up, and then make me reappear somewhere randomly, somewhere else on the screen.
And the big fish gets got me, he knows to do it.
And then when big fish gets got me, he plays the sound chomp, and then he switches to the closed mouth costume, so it looks like he's gobbling the fish up, and then he opens his mouth. Makes
sense?
That's
the same three fish.
Yeah.
Just reappear.
Yeah, exactly. It's just these three sprites. Now, if you wanted more, you could create, you could just copy those over, and you could have 50 little fish swimming around in there.
Is there a way to dynamically add sprites runtime, or do they all have to be allocated?
No, and that's one of the big complaints that people have had with sprites is there's no dynamic creation, or with Scratch is that there's no dynamic creation of sprites.
What does that mean?
So, for example, if you wanted to have an ant colony, okay. And you wanted to write all the code for one ant, and then just tell Scratch, just make 100 of these ants.
Uh-huh.
When I run the program, it would do that. Scratch can't do that. If you want 100 ants running around in your program, you have to create 100 separate sprites.
Okay.
Maybe hide them or something and take them off. Yeah, but still a lot of manual work to
piece
them all.
There is, in one of the variations of Scratch that I'll show you in a little while, there's the ability to have nested sprites that all follow whatever actions the ones above it are doing.
So we all march in the same direction?
You can make it like a wheel with a wheel attached to it, with a wheel attached to it, and they all spin around.
Glory, the planet goes around the sun, and the moon rotates the planet. Yeah. Vocal and global coordinates.
How do you copy?
How do you make it? Can you copy one of those fish?
Yes, absolutely. So you can just right click on this guy right here and say duplicate, and that'll create another one just like it.
And all the code also.
And then, it copies all the code over. And if you wanted to move code from one fish to another, so if I wanted to, say I wanted to extend the chomp behavior to one of these little fish, I could just drag this over. Now that's going to move it. If I right click here and say duplicate, it just gives me those same code blocks and I can just walk over and copy that to him. So now he has those same codes, that has that same script. So he chomps too, although he doesn't have the right costumes and everything to do the chomp. So you have to go through and make all of these chomps.
They could do a predator and prey simulation because you can have them around. Well, they can't create dynamically, so that doesn't allow that.
But with the remixing, so for example, say you wanted a score, like a running total of the number of fish that you've caught. You could take this program, and then you could go, you could create a variable that's like named score or something like that. And
you could create a
script so that every time you eat one of the fish, it just increments that by one.
And that would be on the broadcasting command.
Yeah, he could listen to Got Me Too, and he would just know to increment the score when he got.
Yeah,
he's only Got Me plus one.
Yeah, you could do that. That would be one way to do it.
So, I get the feeling that for this, you can eat the fish several different ways. Like, it doesn't have to be like the blue mouth. You could be when the mouse touches the fish, since it follows the mouse. You could eat the fish that way. Like, you could do many different ways of eating the fish.
Right.
This is just how they do it.
This is how they do it. I was going to go into how I would have done the mouse pointer bit differently.
Sprites know when they're touching each other, right?
Yes. And you can use that. So, under sensing, you can say, am I touching another sprite? So that might be, so that's a good example there with the eating of the fish. So what we could have done is instead of saying every time the colors are touching, anytime the big fish is touching the
fish,
the problem is if his tail is touching the little fish, then he's going to chomp him up there too. That's why they created a distinct color for the mouth. You could do it where if you get really close to a fish, then you have to push a button to make its mouth close and chomp it that way.
No. So a few more projects here. This one's kind of cool. This is an example of how to do a little role-playing game in Scratch. So you wake up, yawn, I'm hungry. It's time to go find some fruit. So you get this little guy, this is very first generation Nintendo here. You can walk around. You can go into
awesome.
Another map.
Go to the fruit place!
Yeah, so you can go and you collect all of the fruit.
And then you just kind of.
And then you go into the fruit place and you go up to the guy and he goes, great job, you brought. And he goes through the list and he tells you all the things that he brought.
So is that the actual
table?
List?
That's just rude.
What's that?
Why are you standing on this table?
Yeah. And then he gives you a fruit.
It's still funny.
So is that an actual squeak list?
That's a list that they said
yeah.
to show. So
okay.
they kept it clipped.
Got it.
Yeah.
Nice.
I would implement it with an Oxford comma.
Because after that, I was just kind
of done. So you can see a lot of variety in things that the kids can do with this. And adults do. I play this all the time. Especially with the Scratch board and stuff. I'll show you shortly.
I could see using this to make presentations that had animated moments and stuff like that.
Yeah. Now let me go up a level and show you a couple more things. I like this one a lot. This is called Ocean Music Box.
Is the line a sprite?
Yes, that's exactly what they did. So what they have is they have a line that's a sprite.
That's awesome.
And the code is set up so that every time that line touches one of those other sprites, that sprite grows, changes color, and makes a sound, and then goes back to its ordinary state. And then you can move these guys around if you want to compose more melodies.
How did they make it so that wherever, like, depending on where you put it, it makes a difference?
Well, that's a great question. So if you want to know how they did it, I happen to. But if you want to know, you just stop and you say, how did you know that? So you grab one of these starfish. And I think...
Y position right there. Play note 40 times plus Y position plus 125. So that changes the.
Right, but she's asking how does it know to move the sprite, right? Plus we move this one.
Or make it move?
Or were you just asking what note it is?
Like, yeah, how does it know where it is?
It gets the Y position.
Yeah, exactly. So it gets the position of the Y position of the sprite from here to here.
Moving it would again just be your cursor at the sprite system.
Did you pull the extras from the bottom?
The extras.
When you added new notes.
Yeah, those.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. They're down here, so you can. Right. So you can pull these up.
It reminds me of Mario Paint. How they had the music thing on.
This is the guys doing Rickroll in that, or on YouTube.
There's Breakdance. I like Robot Dance. This is one of my favorites. This isn't very interactive, but it's just darn cool. It's just a dancing robot.
It's like if the Atari 2600 had a demo scene.
Yeah.
Could you use like pictures that you took? Like, could I take a picture of you and then like edit it?
Mm-hmm.
And cut you out of it, and then, like, take pictures of you, like, walking, and
yeah.
use those as different
costumes. Yeah, in fact, there's breakdancing, which I'm going to show next, has that. So these are actually pictures of people in here. I should click these.
So are distortions an effect, or?
Yes, they're one of the look effects. You do fish eye and swirl. So, going to your question, obviously these are photographs of people that they took and then edited in the painter.
The spatula you do that in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you just import the picture as a graphic. Well, that gets a little tricky. I'll show you.
Maybe the next front half is important.
Oh, yeah.
You want to get really fancy.
Exactly. So, you know, like, I would probably do this in GIMP or something like that and then bring it in, but you do have the option in here. If this was an image, if you had imported this image and all of this was white or black or all one color, you can do a bucket fill and you can select transparency. So you can bucket fill a transparency, which is nice. You can also, if you have a... if you have a webcam connected to Scratch, you can it'll take a live picture from you. There it is. So the camera. If I had a camera on, it would be showing you whatever was attached to my camera. I could just click here to take that snapshot, and then that'll become the sprite. I'll show you a couple more of these, and then I'll start. We'll take a quick break, and then I'll start picking up the hardware. I'll show you guys the sensor board and the Lego set.
Legos.
I love Legos.
Yeah, it's really cool. Piano machine's kind of neat. What this does is. This has these little balls that every time they touch a key, they make a note, and then you can move the keys around. Make a lot of noise.
Make it stop.
So again, just some variety of things you can do. And it's great, because if you want to know how they did it, you can see how they did it. And you can copy what they did, or improve on what they did, change it up a little bit. Interactive art. So this will show you a few of the graphic effects. So this is the color effect. And I can make it. This is the swirl effect. Okay. This just rotates the picture. This is a pixelate effect. So as I go closer or further away, it increases and decreases the value. And this is fisheye, so this is fisheye positive, or fisheye negative. You can suck the guy's face and then he stops. That's always fun. And then this is a mosaic effect. Sprites to do some cool stuff with them.
Yeah, those aren't the little boxes that's in there.
What's that? Well, each picture there is its own sprite.
Okay.
And each one has its own script. So for example, this one says, whenever the mouse is touching it, change the fisheye by the position of the mouse divided by the different fisheye effects. Also, another thing I should show you is, if you want to know what these do, there's a really extensive help system that's built into Scratch. So you just right click on a block and ask and get a help, and it'll tell you where to place. Okay. Some of this stuff requires some playing around to figure out what the range, the value ranges are. Most of the graphic effects, I think, are on a scale of 0 to 100, so 0 being no effect, 100 being the maximum effect for that, whatever it is. Kaleidoscope, Zen Rock Garden, there's so many cool ones to play with. I'll show you one more. Simulation. So here's a simulation called Virtual Dog.
Hey.
So here's your own little pet dog. Okay? And you can scratch him. He barks. Okay? And you have water, because the screen's cutting off, I'll try and fix that while we have a quick break in a minute. But you have water and dog food and treats that you can feed him. And based on whether he's thirsty or quenched or hungry or satisfied. And then you can go for a walk. You can use your arrow keys to go up to contests. And you can do a maze contest or a hurdles contest. What do you guys want to do?
Maze.
All right. So use upright, left, and down arrow keys to move your dog through. If you do it within 22 seconds, you win a trophy of $30 to buy more food and drinks. So hit play.
Oh, no.
And the maze is a little buggy. I think I've done it enough times I can get through it without running into any invisible blocks here.
They're thick pockets of air.
Yes. Yeah. Poor dog. And I can't see anything at the bottom. I'm trusting that he's moving to the right. There we go. Congratulations! You got the maze trophy for $30. So we put that to return. So now I have a little trophy down there. Dog barks, he's happy. Hey, we got a trophy. Now he's thirsty because we're looking at the maze room. So we gotta give him the water. So he drinks the water. And now it's fresh.
He's hungry,
so we give him some food. Now he's happy. Right. What's that? You can rub.
Now he's hungry.
Well, it makes him hungry.
Depends on how much food you have, but you know, you want to rub it out. You give him some treats, and treats don't fill him up, and you give him some more treats. And he's really hungry, so you gotta get some food. You don't have any food.
I was gonna starve now. The SPCA comes and takes your dog away.
Yeah, because you have some money, you can go to the pet shop and you can buy some food. And then you can go back and get food. And he's so hungry.
He's still hungry, he's like me.
Yeah, he's like, he's
just a
heartbeat. And
he's thirsty.
I'm going to take a quick break so everybody can kind of stretch their legs, and then I'll set up the electronics and show you some of the sensor board stuff. And you guys can grab, there's some cookies and stuff back there if you want to. Are there any questions? Offhand?
James says thanks.
All right. The really good stuff.